from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bill, always great to be with you here on WIP, particularly as we broadcast from Borgata, our Friday morning home base. And nice when it happens after a double win. Phils get the win, Eagles get the win. Different implications, obviously, last night. And I would say different levels of entertainment value. I thought the preseason product last night, frankly, was at its lowest point that I've ever
Your
seen.
Expectations are way too high for preseason.
I'm past that. I know it's not 20 years ago, but I thought the first 2 hours and 30 minutes, Rhea, were a drag.
Joe,
I
agree
really
with you.
Really bored.
I was so bored.
Right?
I wasn't.
I'm amazed by that. But, you know, I can honestly say I wanted to turn off the TV.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what I thought watching it? What is the point of having preseason?
I thought that, too.
What's the purpose?
Yeah.
Because you're not going to play your starters. You're not going to run any real plays. It was a drag. I thought the same thing.
Well, yeah. Look, we'll see where everyone stands. I mean, my biggest takeaway was the preseason product is terrible. But
do you worry at all that there are now factions within that locker room where the defense plays, the offense doesn't, and some guys are ticked about that?
Hadn't thought of it. I can imagine you as a veteran player would think about that. I had not thought of
that. I would be annoyed.
Do you think Jalen Hurts wants to play in a preseason game?
Good question. I have no idea.
I don't know that. I know that I would. I don't know. I mean, the impression, I hate to say that I'm leaning toward he does not want to play because he hasn't. Like, it really feels like what you hear about a guy like, you know, Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes, the guys who are playing in the preseason, is that they like the idea themselves. They want to get out there. They want to get the reps.
Yeah.
You know, like, Patrick Mahomes went and talked to Andy Reid about getting the reps. You hear reports like that.
Well, one thing
I haven't heard reports like Jalen is going in asking for preseason reps.
Well, yeah, who knows?
Well, the problem is he called Wink Martindale.
I was always struck in Brady's career. There were a couple times where they had home
field. He wanted reps.
Well, I'm going to go beyond the preseason. They would have home field advantage clinched.
Yes.
With a game to go, and he would play in that final game.
Yeah.
A lot. I mean, I don't say a lot, but it happened a couple times.
Not the whole game, but he would get in
yeah.
there a lot of times because he knew how important it was.
But it's a risk.
There's a reason for that.
Which is what, Rhea?
So Ross had always told us, you know, because Ross played with him up in New England, that he didn't even like to give up reps in practice to the backup. Remember, this guy only got really the chance because Bledsoe got injured.
Yeah.
He was never going to give anyone that opportunity.
I mean,
I just think that's his mindset.
That could be.
I mean,
that's, you know.
I think that's the mindset for a lot of guys. I know that was my mindset. I was paranoid every single day that I would lose this incredible opportunity to play for, you know, the team I grew up watching. It really is something where they're constantly trying to replace you. You better be looking over your shoulder. You better be trying to do all those little things. I wish that one of those little things that I heard about this preseason was Jalen wanted to play. I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not gonna blame him for that.
Yeah.
Maybe he did.
Because it wouldn't be appropriate if he said it publicly if he knew it was going to be otherwise.
Exactly.
So anyway, all right.
Yeah.
So biggest thing that stood out to you last night was what? Whether it was the boringness of the game, entertainment of the game, or an individual part of the team, you know, player or group. That and the Phils. I mean, Weston Wilson, great job. Let's go to the phones. Let's get to Gary in Whitehall. What's going on, Gary?
Morning, crew. How you doing?
Doing great, Gary.
Hey, John, I totally agree with you. I don't agree with the grand poobah. So, you know, these starters got to play.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with you. why are we playing? These guys aren't. You know, these guys are in street clothes. I mean, there's got to be something.
Yeah. Well, there is something to that. The street clothes versus, like, I'm in full pads. Like Keely Ringo, Devin White, Zach Bond, these guys are out there in full pads and playing a half.
Gary, can we at least acknowledge the career accomplishments of the offensive players compared to the defensive players is freaking night and day. All right? And by the way, those that are accomplished defensively, Darius Slay, Brandon Graham, they did not play. You know, right. And Devin White obviously is probably the most accomplished defensive player that did play last night, probably him and Avante Maddox, frankly. But, I mean, those guys are actually competing for spots. So, you know, I'm fine with that. I mean, look, I think it made it a boring product, but no player on, you know, Bryce Huff, you can't say, oh, I had to play and A.J. Brown did it. Are you kidding me?
No, it's not that. It's just the fact that you got two new systems.
Yeah, why is it important for one side of the ball to practice more than the other? That's just the way it feels.
Right.
Well, I don't know, Gary. I mean, Rhea didn't think Embiid should play in the Olympics because he could get hurt. And the playoffs were in like 10 months. So we all have different perspectives on risk and reward. This is what they choose to go with. I mean, whether you like it or not, and it's fascinating to talk about. But, Gary, give me what you got quickly on the Phils. What do you got, my man?
It was great what Wilson did, and it was like, you know, it was like unsaid about it because of what they did and what they accomplished, and it was against, you know, mediocre opponent. But
mediocre's that's kind.
Whatever happened behind closed doors, these guys are getting it.
They're 2-0 since the meeting. Yeah, point blank. All right, Gary, give me a great answer here. For someone or something that reinvented themselves.
Not only did it once, he did it twice. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Wow. He did.
Yeah, I guess he.
Yeah.
But in terms of becoming
that's
a politician,
incredible.
Bodybuilder,
actor, politician.
Yeah. Okay, that's a great answer. By the way, speaking of answers, we got the answer at the end of the game. Who's going to win this game last night? We knew the Phillies' answer for a long time. The Eagles' answer had hung in the balance. And then the Birds got on a drive in the fourth quarter. Let's give everyone a little taste of Merrill and Mike here because the Eagles pulled it out. And let's just highlight three highlights from near the end of the game when the Eagles had that winning touchdown drive. Let's go first to a big pass, an important pass, as the third string quarterback, and his name is Tanner McKay, with a nice pass to get the Eagles close to the goal line.
It's first and 10. He gives up fakes, looks. Puts it in the air. Complete. Inside the 5. And down to the 4-yard line goes Ngata. What a throw.
It was a nice throw. By the way, I liked that Ngata guy. I told you last preseason I like him. He actually does remind me of Fred Barnett. He's number 86, and he's got a similar sort of...
Are you saying he's your best friend?
I'm saying he has a chance 20 years from now to be my best friend.
New best friend.
But he kind of looks like him a little bit, body type. Anyway, he probably won't make the team. I guess he's maybe hopefully a practice squad guy again because I think he's got a little something, but guys are in front of him. But
they've been talking him up an awful lot, both last year and this year.
2 years in a row, John.
I haven't seen
he had 5 catches much. Last night. You know?
Yeah, well, against that competition,
right.
Like, okay, I know he can perform against those guys. Yeah. Would he be able to do that in a real NFL game? I think he's got a lot of nice attributes.
He does.
But I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, the more important thing within that play is Tanner McKay, who certainly could become the Eagles' backup, isn't as of yet the two.
Tanner McKay, just look at those plays last night. Look how quickly he gets rid of the ball. It looks completely different than everything we saw last year.
Well, that's why we use the term processing. You got to process quickly, and he does, and I think the guy looks pretty solid. All right,
he does.
So let's get to the touchdown. So they got the ball inside the 5. They're down by 7 points, and a TD.
They do give it to Milton. He lunges forward, and he's in for the touchdown.
No problem.
Kendall Milton, he picks it up.
All right, so some guy who's never going to play for the Eagles scores a touchdown. Okay.
Oh, my. You are brutal this morning.
Hey, Milton, make sure you save that tape, buddy, and show the grandkids in 50 years. All right, no, I'm just joking. Who knows? I mean, who knows? All right. Then,
we know. He's not going to make
it. Yeah, but maybe some down the road. He's Raheem Mostert, and he pops up somewhere with somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so but now Sirianni's got a decision. He does clearly the right thing. Like, we're not messing around kicking a field goal and tying this thing up with a couple minutes. Let's go for the two, win or lose. Tom Osborne lost the national championship on this about 40-something years ago. The stakes were a little lower last night, but Sirianni said let's go for two, and this happens.
They go with a pistol formation. Motion, and there's Smith. This time the pass into the end zone, and it is caught for two on the far side of the end zone by Anais Smith. And the Eagles take the lead.
Kellen Moore.
So still had to stop them, you know, and the Eagles defense did. And away you go, and 2-0. Sirianni pumped up on the sideline. It was the end was entertaining. I thought the first, like, 53 minutes were incredibly not, and then the final 7 minutes.
You didn't find it entertaining when Nick lost his mind? On the sidelines,
marginally.
He was throwing his headset down. I was like, oh, yeah.
I thought he was visibly more reserved in that game than what we'd seen in previous years. Like, when they talked to him coming out after the half, I just couldn't help but notice how different.
But it is a preseason game, John.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean,
you're right. So
that
could account for it. But it was sort of subdued. You know, like, maybe they talked to him. I think they probably talked to him about being as professional as possible at all times when you're being interviewed on the sideline, and I think we saw a little bit of it show last night.
Maybe. All right, so look, you can comment on the Eagles from yesterday. Obviously, what stood out to you the most, and the Phils, Weston Wilson, the star. We'll get you the audio of his cycle coming up, plus what Weston Wilson said after the game. It was fun. It was cool stuff. Nick Sirianni on not playing the starters and his thoughts on Kenny Pickett versus Tanner McKee. That and more. Elliot Shore Parks at 7:55 today. From Borgata, great to be with you on 94 WIP.
Keep the summer vibes going with a new Lexus from Lexus of Cherry Hill during their Golden Opportunity sales event. I want to say happy birthday to Lexus Cherry Hill because they are proudly celebrating 35 years in business. With over 300 new and L-certified pre-owned Lexus to choose from, you are sure to find the Lexus of your dreams. If you're interested in the Lexus GX, the all-new redesigned Lexus GX, Lexus of Cherry Hill has it. It's arrived. It is bold, confident, and ready for anything. I also love Lexus of Cherry Hill is a veteran-owned and family-operated business. Lexus of Cherry Hill, a six-time J.D. Power Dealer of Excellence winner for the customer service experience. They provide luxury customer service. Go over, talk to Tony Labello and his team, and set yourself up with some of the best deals of the year going on right now. Stop by, visit Lexus of Cherry Hill in Mount Laurel or LexusofCherryHill.com. That's LexusofCherryHill.com.
Hey, Jetta Cameron here. Let me tell you about Family and Company Jewelers right there on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, right across the bridge, you know, the river from Philadelphia. Very close to Philly. Very close. Easy to get to from Philadelphia. Family and Company Jewelers, sensational what they do. You know, they are, in fact, South Jersey's diamond destination and your trusted jeweler for quality, service, and price. You know, you can choose from the largest selection of engagement rings in the area, or you can have their master jeweler create a custom one-of-a-kind ring just for your special day. Guys, if you're thinking of popping that question, get yourself to Family and Company Jewelers. They know what you want. And they'll provide it for you. A great ring, obviously, at a reasonable price, with a helping hand in the process to help you understand the buying process, what you're looking at, all that stuff. Family Company Jewelers does that and more. They're sensational people, and they are experts. So get to them. Family Company Jewelers Showroom, Route 70, Marlton, New Jersey. It's an extravaganza of jewelry. You got to see it to believe it. You can start on the website, familyjewelers.com. You can see this stuff online, see the pricing online, the whole thing. FamilyJewelers.com, Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination.
Brought to you by Groundworks Phillies, with a win streak, modest one as it may be, while the Eagles are 2-0 in the preseason. What a night for rookie Weston Wilson, hitting for the cycle, just the 10th in franchise history. Zach Wheeler proving to 12-5. Phils got home runs from Alec Bohm and Nick Castellanos in their 13-3 win over the Nationals. Eagles 14-13 over the Patriots at Foxborough. No offensive starters. Kenny Pickett 11-13 for 67 yards. Playing the first half, Tanner McKee 15-19 for 140 yards. Pickett was going against the Patriots starters, and Nick Sirianni saying after the game, Pickett is the two and McKee the three. BQ Basements and Concrete is now Groundworks. New name, same great service, foundation repair, basement waterproofing, and crawl space experts. To book your appointment, go to groundworks.com. Weather brought to you by PDQ Signature Systems. Mostly sunny, high 89. It's currently 73. If you're in the restaurant, hospitality, or casino business, you need a PDQ POS system. With PDQ POS, you'll sell more, earn more, and work less. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Visit PDQPOS.com. To listen to 94WIP, just download the free Odyssey app or tell your smart speaker to play 94WIP.
All right, well, after a very busy night last night in Philadelphia sports, two of our teams playing, both of them winning, an awful lot to talk about here today. Wonderful to be with you from Borgata, where we are every Friday morning. So obviously you can weigh in on both games last night. Let me give you three things from yesterday you may not know about, because these were, you know, not as prominent as the Eagles or Phillies games, but three things just to bring you up to speed on. First off, good news from the world of baseball. Former Phillies manager and star player for the Chicago Cubs, Ryan Sandberg, has been declared cancer-free. You may remember that cancer set in for him in the last year or two, and he went through quite a battle. But he rang the bell yesterday and is considered cancer-free. So that's great news. Also from baseball, this one really could impact the Phillies. So with the Phillies having won yesterday, the Dodgers having lost, the Braves having lost, and the Brewers having won, here's the standings. Phillies now, for the first time in a couple days, back atop the National League. They're a half a game in front of the Dodgers. Seven games in front of the Braves. That's pretty comfortable. But still only two games in front of the Brewers for, you know, essentially what can be the 1, 2, or 3 seed in the NL. Of course, the 3 seed is going to have to play in the first round. Here's what I'm getting at. Christian Yelich, who's been one of the best players in the National League for about 10 years. He's not the star he was like 5, 7 years ago, but he's still a hell of a player. I mean, he was leading the National League in batting before he got hurt. Christian Yelich is out for the year. So that was announced yesterday. He's got a back
issue. That is so massive.
That's a big issue.
Man.
That's a big issue. So just know,
he's
like,
quite a player.
That helps the Phillies. I mean, I'm not rooting for the guy to have an injury, but that does help the Phillies.
Yeah.
All right, one other note from sports yesterday. Justin Simmons, the, until yesterday, still available safety, two-time Pro Bowler, who we kicked around the idea of should the Eagles sign him.
Because he played for Fangio, right?
He played for Denver, I believe, with Fangio, I think.
I think he did, yeah.
I believe that's right. And, you know, he's older, like a lot of guys would be, you know, a couple-time Pro Bowler, not yet signed. He signed yesterday with Atlanta. So he's off the board, which, you know, obviously, John, a guy like Reed Blankenship would say, all right, whew, I'm good. It's my job. Because,
well,
you know, and maybe,
I don't know. Look,
maybe Bradbury. John, who's
Bradbury, you saw the touchdown yesterday where he took a misstep, and it was him and Jalix Hunt both.
Yeah.
Jalix Hunt losing contain on the edge, and him, I don't know what he was looking at.
Yeah.
Like, I thought James Bradbury playing safety, it would save us from plays like that where it looked like he didn't understand where his help was or what his job
but
was.
Do you give him some
he was
going
to read it out properly. Like his job on that play was to read it like a linebacker, and he wasn't capable of doing that.
But
it was bad.
Do you give him, we don't usually apply the term grace to football, do you give him some grace that 5 to 10 weeks from now he might understand that better? Like, this is very new for him.
Well, the thing is, I think that he already understands that. I expected that he already understood a lot of that. It was just a bad reaction, very un-football instinct-looking play.
No, I agree. I mean, it was a bad play. It was. All right, so both teams from last night obviously on the table. Let's listen to the Weston-Wilson cycle. It was quite a moment. It really was cool. By the way, it's a good thing that ball didn't go a little further in the gap, because, I mean, do you just keep running to third base? You know what I actually thought about? Has it happened before where a guy that needed a double got
just
a triple?
Stayed.
Well, a couple. I thought of all three.
Four
things.
Went the triple to get the cycle.
All right, so three different scenarios went through my mind. One, did a person ever stop on second when he should have gone to third? Two, did a person ever get a triple when he could have stopped at second and gotten a cycle and he blows the cycle?
Mm-hmm.
Three, did anyone ever try for third but get thrown out going for third, which actually means you hit a double.
Yeah.
That's the technical rule. and then go back to the dugout. And like, ah, that's awesome. I cycle intact. I got thrown out of third. All right.
Can you imagine how funny it would have been if Dusty Wotham put the stop sign up for him to stop at second base?
That'd be great. All right, let's listen to the cycle last night. All four hits. It ends with a double. Weston Wilson, the star last night.
Right field, pretty deep. Going back is call to the track, nearing the wall, and that ball is off the right field wall. It's in play. Bounds away, back towards the infield. Wilson around second. He's heading for third. He's going to be there with a stand-up triple. Jam shot towards second coming on Garcia. It drops. He picks it up, and nobody's at first base. I mean, that ball didn't even make it past the infield grass. Swing by Wilson. He hits one deep to right center, and this one is going to go. Weston Wilson with an opposite field home run over the high wall and right. He is a double shy of the cycle tonight. Swung on, hit in the air, right center field, on the run, call. He will lay out. It's off his glove. Wilson's around first. He's headed for second, and he's got the cycle. Weston Wilson is hit for the cycle tonight for the Phillies. 10th in Phillies history is Weston Wilson in order. The triple, the single, the homer, and a double.
Awesome stuff by Weston Wilson. And it was really cool. The crowd was on it. You know, that's where you see the knowledge of the Philly sports fan. I mean, the crowd knew what had just happened, which, you know, I'm not sure every town would know it.
That's a great point.
It was good stuff. All right. Phone lines, both teams, obviously, 215-592-9494. Your main impression from last night's Eagles game, what was it? Let's go to Derek and Paoli. Derek, what's going on, buddy?
Good morning.
Hi, Derek.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Yeah,
I got a question real quick. So wasn't he on – is he? How is he still a rookie if he was taking hits last year? I was confused about that.
Not enough at bats.
Yeah.
Oh, that's how that goes?
Not enough at bats. Yep. Derek, I'll tell you something incredible. Joe, we need you to watch that reverb back there. So here's something amazing. Scott Rolen was the National League Rookie of the Year in 97, and the only reason he was eligible was because in 96, in what was literally the at-bat that would have tipped him over the edge to have his rookie eligibility applied in 96, he got hit by a pitch. It didn't count as an at-bat.
No.
And he was out for the rest of the year. And then he was April 1st a rookie the next year, and he won Rookie of the Year.
It's the rules on this. Remember Ben Simmons?
Yes.
You know, that whole thing?
Yes, and that was a travesty.
And it was done on purpose.
Yes, it was. He gamed the system, essentially, to win whatever it was, $25 million.
It cuts all sorts of ways. I mean, then there's a guy like Marty Bystrom. I'm assuming in 80, 80's probably technically not his rookie year. I assume 81 is, but he helps the Phillies – you know, in 80.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right. Derek, go ahead, my man. I'm sorry to cut you off.
The end of it. John, you turning 50 this year?
Yes.
Yeah,
September 4th.
A couple weeks.
I'm a little after you, though.
Yeah. So you are, too, this year?
Yep, mine's just the 22nd of September, so.
Wow, I had no idea, Derek. You and me both. Yeah. We're like peas and carrots.
Derek, what should we do for John? We got to do, you know, something.
Man, something exciting, man. You got to do something a little exciting, you know. But
Not that, like, it's a Wednesday.
What is 50, like, you know how there's the golden birthday and you get different
like
things
the
for anniversaries?
Yeah,
is there something
this
that you're supposed to do
like
for a 50th birthday?
It's like a pretty big one.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm thinking. For those that remember the movie Under Siege, I'm thinking Erica Eleniak jumping out of the cake.
Nah, I wouldn't do all that.
Steven Seagal references.
Wow.
That might not be the thing, though,
Joe. Yeah.
No, that's just
thing.
That's
what, Joe, real quick, I'm surprised that you even keep – how are you, like, the lead on here? Yo, you are rated R, cuz.
You're right. You're right.
That's Howard Stern.
Derek, you're just picking up on this? He is a twisted
mind in the gutter over here. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Crazy stuff, man. I'm like,
Derek, give me a great answer for who or what reinvented themselves.
I'm gonna be like you. I'm going to go with Bruce Jenner.
Bruce Jenner. Well, that is a form of reinvention. That's true. All right, Chris in Wilmington. Chris, you're on WIP.
Good morning, crew. How's everybody doing today?
Super, Chris.
Good. John, I'm going to make most of my comments to you, and I want to thank you for your time with the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think that you and Rhea ought to be the host of the morning show, and along with all the other women, should be co-host.
Wait, all the other women, like the 3.5 billion in the world?
No,
you said there's There's 7 billion people in the world. I assume about 3.5 billion of them are women. That'd be a pretty packed show.
No, the women on the show.
We'd never lack for conversation.
Are you talking about me? Devin?
Yeah, all the other women on
all
the show.
Other, yeah, my, the
all
other
of us?
One. All the other one.
All of me?
And you,
my name is Devin.
It's like pieces.
Devin, that was outstanding.
Pieces of me with Katy Perry.
Moving forward.
Hi, this is the news.
Eagles fan hates the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Hates them with a passion. I was I set my alarm for like 1 o'clock in the morning this morning to watch the Eagles game on tape delay, and I think the
that's commitment.
I know the broadcast was a New England broadcast of the game. Hmm. And they were all happy about May, et cetera, but the Eagles did everything they could to win that game, which did not surprise me in the least.
Well, that's not actually accurate. They won the game. If they did everything, they would have played their starters. They didn't do that, but credit to the guys that played, they won the game, which was good.
Okay. So again, the Eagles, I consider myself to be a 4-for-4 guy.
Yeah.
I've had cancer since 1995. Wow. Excuse me, 2005. I've been sick with one thing after the other, and for the last 20 years I'm a lot older than you guys. But I'm going to say that the Philadelphia sports teams have saved my life.
Wow.
Holy cow, Chris.
For many reasons. But being a Philadelphia sports fan is one of the major reasons I want to stay alive.
Well, Chris, it's a beautiful tribute to Philly sports. And, you know, God bless you, my man, with your decades-long battle now.
Thanks for sharing that, Chris.
Yeah.
And the other reason I called is I was almost 6 feet tall in sixth grade. I'm 6'3", normally 215 pounds. Right now, I'm 188 pounds,
wow.
And I look exactly like Weston Wilson.
All right. Well,
are you serious?
He got the cycle last night. Right, so, Chris, fantastic call. Give me an answer here for who or what reinvented themselves.
You know, I was going to say Bruce Jenner, but since that was taken already, I'm going to go with Tim McGraw.
Tim McGraw, you got it, my man. Appreciate the call, Chris, and our very best to you. Let's listen to Sirianni from after the game last night. So, you know, John had obviously been calling for Jalen and the starters to play. You know, we found out they weren't going to play on offense. Sirianni talked after the game about, you know, that decision, what goes into that decision. John, make of this what you will. I'm guessing you're not going to like it because you didn't like the decision. Here's Sirianni after the game.
The decision not to play any of the offensive starters.
You know, we had 89 plays against New England. It was a long practice. It was a physical practice. We had some good one-on-one reps also. And I felt like we you know, 2 days, when you play 2 days beforehand, like when you practice on Friday, it's take us to a season. You practice on Friday, then you play on Sunday, right? That Friday practice is, you know, short, fast, you know, and we like to say make sure we're paying attention there on Fridays, make sure we're completely locked in on Fridays, focus Friday. Some people call it fast Friday. And that's by design to make sure that your guys are ready to go on Sunday. Well, it's the same, you know, when you have that long of a practice, which is more like a Wednesday, really even a longer Wednesday practice, in a really physical practice like it was. I just thought it was a really physical practice because I think New England's a really physical team. You know, that's not enough rest, in my opinion, to put those guys back out there.
Does that bother you, John?
It bothers me a ton. Not enough rest to go run 10 or 15 plays. Suck it up. You, as the coach, need to set a better example of toughness, for God's sake. Let the guys play.
All right, so there's a few different things that go through my mind. One is, was he really telling you the truth on what the real reason is? Because there's a distinct possibility the real reason they didn't play is the Eagles coaching staff and general managers just didn't want starters to be at risk. Because here's the thing I'll say about his idea of, well, the reason is, you know, we had a hard practice 2 days ago, okay? Well, you could have had the hard practice on, like, Monday. I mean, right? Like, you could have. You could
have a little forethought, a little pre-planning. Seriously, if you wanted the guys to play,
now maybe
they
New
could
England,
have easily played.
I'd have to
I
look
understand.
At when New England played. Maybe New England played their game on
Saturday.
Guess what, Nick? We used to play three quarters in the preseason game and then go and practice, you know, after a day off. So, and that's what we did. And while we were practicing, we were hitting one another for 3 hours that morning, and then we'd go take a nap, have some meetings, and then practice again and hit each other in the afternoon.
So,
and then the next day, we'd hit each other in the morning and hit each other in the afternoon. They're not going to break. They might get injured, but that's what happens when you play football. And by the way, it'll make them tougher along the way if they get roughed up a little bit. They'll learn to deal and play through some of this stuff.
Look, it's funny. I have two totally divergent thoughts in my head while you're talking. Number one is I'm fine that they didn't play their starters on offense. As an Eagles fan for their preparation for the season, I'm totally fine with it. Number two, though, I think it completely has diminished the product of preseason football. And so from a fan standpoint who last night would have rather enjoyed 3 hours of football instead of having to tape my eyes shut to, like, stay alive but somehow still have the TV on and not turn it off.
I did not think it was as bad as you thought.
I thought last night was the most boring preseason product I've ever seen. And the two things, and I said this earlier, I'll say it again, the two things it reminded me of were the scab games from 87, when you had actual NFL football game with replacement players, and the Sixers' tank years.
It was not even close to the tank years, because the Sixers were actively, you know how much I despise, that's on my number one of hate list of things that were done. They were actively trying, there were guys trying to make the team last night.
No, and I respect that, obviously. You know? I mean, totally respect
so
that.
So there were guys playing hard, and
but
I enjoyed watching it.
Don't you think the product was
Yeah, I got Kenny Pickett as my starting quarterback, yes. I do think the product was, but I was taking other things out of it. I enjoyed watching Will Greer play. I thought that was fun. It was different.
No, all right, ever. Devin, you're with, you're with
me. It was just fun. Right. It was amusing.
Devin, you're with me that the product was garbage.
I don't want to say it was garbage because it was still professional football. I was bored for the most part. Like, after probably the first quarter, maybe even earlier than that, I was like, all right.
Bored by the third play. I was bored. And
yeah.
2 hours and 45 minutes later, I actually got into it for 10 minutes of human life, 15
minutes. There are a lot of young players
out there. The final 6 minutes of the game were
interesting. For a lifetime changing
job. And that's great
job.
For them.
It's good for them, but
I don't
it's
enjoy
fascinating. This is our future team. Yeah. Like, these players, we've got some talent out there. It's exciting to see them molded by this coaching staff before our very eyes.
So one of them, obviously, is Tanner McKay, who I think pretty clearly outplayed Kenny Pickett again. Let's listen to Nick Sirianni after the game. He tries to dispel the notion that Tanner McKee has passed Kenny Pickett by. I mean, he's very clear to say he hasn't, at least not on the depth chart. Make of it what you will. Here's Sirianni postgame.
Tanner made some really nice throws down the field today with some good anticipation, and I'll have to look at the tape of what happened, but they both had good practices through to the state. I thought they both played solid today. Now I'll have to watch the tape to see exactly what happened. It's really hard to kind of say exactly, I don't remember any plays that I felt like Kenny made. I'm like, oh man, that was detrimental, right? Obviously, you go back or with Tanner either that they made. I didn't have any of those notes down like that, but I thought they both played well within the scheme, and I thought they both did some nice things.
Is that a competition, or is Pickett the number?
Kenny, you saw where they went in today. Kenny's our number two. Tanner's our number three, and I'm really happy that those guys are both on the roster.
Look, here's where that could bite the Eagles. The game Jalen gets hurt, if he does. Or the first game that, the next guy has to start because Jalen got hurt. I think that would be Kenny Pickett's game. But it might not last long.
It won't. And players will dictate that because players can see. I mean, players know who can play.
And let's remember, guys, like, I cannot make this point enough. Maybe more than any town in pro football, the Eagles have relied on their backup quarterback so much over the last three and a half decades. About two-thirds of the years, they have needed to go to the backup quarterback for a game or two.
Jeff Garcia.
Or for like 10.
I mean,
91, you got all that. You got Jeff Garcia in 06. Yeah. You got Nick Foles in 2017. You had Foles in 2013. You had Foles in 2012. Now, sometimes you stink. You have Mike McMahon in 05. Yeah. You had Vince Young in whatever year that was, 11 or whatever that was. I mean, it's happened. I mean, heck.
Mark Sanchez.
Sam Bradford one year, they traded him right before the season started. I mean, like, that's sort of a version of going to your backup quarterback. So, you know, and we're missing some other years. I mean, it has happened a lot.
But I think because of that, and that's a really good point, we as Philadelphia Eagles fans expect a lot from our backup quarterback, when at the end of the day you do kind of have to take a step back and realize that they're not the number one quarterback for a reason, right? It's so, the pool of talent is so small and it takes so much to become
Here's what I'll say I expect as an Eagles fan. I expect that the Eagles will prioritize trying to have one of the five best backup quarterbacks in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I think oftentimes they have had that. They clearly had it with Garcia and Foles.
Yep.
They tried to have it with Vince Young. It didn't work out. I think they tried to have it with Kenny Pickett. I just don't think he's one of them.
Yeah.
I don't think he's good.
I think that was their thought process in trading for him. But because of that, I just don't see them making that switch until he actually has to go into
a
real game.
Yeah, I think
Kenny Pickett has underperformed to some degree while Tanner McKee has continued to excel and continues to improve.
Yep, exactly. All right, phones we go. Scott and King of Prussia. Scott, what's
Greetings.
Up, buddy?
Greetings. Good morning, team.
Hi, Scott.
What a great night in the man cave out here in King of Prussia. I had the Eagles on the radio. I had the Phillies on the TV. Phillies game ended. The Wilson cycle was so exciting. It's got to be one of the most exciting things in baseball. And it's also something that brings a team together. Those guys were so into that, not just the crowd, but the team. And then the Eagles, when the Phillies game ended, I switched over to the Eagles and I had a chance to see the end of the game. And McKee throws a really nice football. One of the things that he does is he anticipates where the receiver is going to be and he throws to the spot. And that's great to see. I'd like to see McKee.
It's advanced. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I agree with you. The anticipation is something that really I have not seen that from these young quarterbacks in a long time. He is so much – it's precocious how advanced he is, comparatively speaking. He is highly functional, highly honed in on exactly what a defense is trying to do to him. Like, he understands these things at a deeper level than most young quarterbacks, most rookie quarterbacks do, or second-year guys.
He was making the right reads at the line and even the checkdowns and hitting the running back. So he's doing a lot of good things. I'd like to see him start one of these preseason games. And I know he wouldn't be starting with the first team, but at least let him roll with the second team line and to see how he does. See if he's still tearing it up the same way he's tearing up the third team.
All right, Scott, how about this theory? He's too valuable. Now he can't play. Got to put him in bubble wrap.
That's where we're headed, isn't it? Because
you know who I always actually feel a little bad for?
Go ahead.
Whoever is the running back in the final preseason game who touches the ball the most never makes the team.
Very true.
There is always a human, like,
pinata.
I don't know what the term. Pinata. The final preseason
the
game.
The guy who gets 20 carries, beaten down, scores
looks like
a
world beater.
He is the rented mule.
He's like a sacrificial lamb.
Well, hopefully he can put something on tape for another team, right?
Yeah.
At that point.
That's what you hope.
Yeah, definitely hope for that. So I forget the last point. I had a last point I was going to make. I don't know. It just jumped out of my head. I apologize.
No problem. Scott, give me an answer for who or what reinvented themselves. You can win the tickets to watch the Eagles-Packers game from the link in 3 weeks.
All right, so this guy reinvented himself first as a boxer to become the oldest heavyweight champion ever, and then he became one of the shrewdest businessmen backing a product that has been one of the most successful products to ever be sold, the Foreman Grill. So George Foreman is my answer.
So I don't love that answer, and I'll tell you why. The answer that would have been – that's just being a pitch man and a successful pitch man. The better answer would have been Foreman the boxer – with the personality he had in his 20s versus Foreman the boxer and the personality he had in his 40s. That's a different form of reinvention.
That's the reinvention.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the reinvention. Let's get to today's Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us. We actually have two of them. Brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. The all-new Chevrolet Traverse has arrived. And Armin has them in stock. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. First poll question, who's a better player? Is it A, Tanner McKee, or B, Kenny Pickett? Second poll question, just curious here, Which game did you watch or listen to more last night? I'm sure a lot of people were flipping back and forth, but assuming one got observed by you more than the other, did you watch or listen more to the A, Eagles, or B, Phillies? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. By the way, Elliot Shore Parks joins us in 10 minutes. Now, we'll get his thoughts, obviously, on the Birds last night, who stood out, the whole thing, the worthwhileness of the product, the whole deal. No beat the hammer today.
Very sad.
It's a very sad day throughout the Delaware Valley. Mm. And I especially want to apologize to the boys and girls out there who tune in. I mean, there are kids who soon are going to have to be back in school. You know, like, it's going to be brutal. You know, kids, back to school. I mean, they get to hang out with your friends, but all these teachers are going to be annoying you in a couple weeks. And you look forward to, in the summer, listening to Beat the Hammer. But oh. James Seltzer took this Friday off. That rat.
Wow.
Buddy.
You're going to blame.
How could he?
How could
he? Called him a rat?
That well, was I was going to say rat something else, and I just went rat, rat wow. body. Rat body. But I was thinking something else. Anyway. No, we hope Seltzer's buddy. Having a good day off. By the way, next
do
week.
Do you really? Because you've been giving him a hard time
James
all day.
James was on he was on the Fanavision at the game.
Heard and saw. And
he's on that thing a lot.
And
They had his name on the Fanavision. What is he, Richie, going back to an Eagles game where they, you know, this is John Richie, fullback 03 and 04 like you did a couple years ago, John? You deserve, John, to have your name on Fanavision. Seltzer gets his name there?
That's
sounds like you're jealous.
A little bit. I think it's outrageous.
Oh, the truth comes out.
Yeah, sure.
So you do think it's outrageous for the wrong reasons.
I think it's outrageous for the right reasons. But congrats to Seltzer with his ugly mug up on the Fanavision last night.
Good for him.
All right, so no Beat the Hammer today. Now, we will have pop culture Beat the Hammer. Mm-hmm. It's something we do in the 8 o'clock hour. Whenever Seltzer's out, Devin cranks up some pop culture questions. A lot of times I make a fool of myself.
Most of them.
Sometimes the audience does as well. 8:30 today. We'll veer off into pop culture. By the way, speaking of last night's game, Phillies game, you know, Weston Wilson was the number one star, but you know who was the number two star? It wasn't Zach Wheeler, although he's close. It's Ben Davis. In this time that ordinarily would be, you know, Beat the Hammer. Up, yeah, that's how you do. I mean, that kind of stuff, right? Ben Davis last night delivered. Karl Malone did not deliver on that Sunday in the NBA Finals when he missed those two free throws. After Scottie Pippen told him, you know, the mailman never delivers on a Sunday, and then he missed the two free throws. Ben Davis delivered last night. Ladies and gentlemen, we present to you a Trey Turner double. We present to you Ben Davis's commentary and Ruben Amaro's chuckle. Ah, yeah! Let's listen to Ben Davis.
Trey Turner. Line drive to left field. That's going to be a big one. Rojas will score. Coasting home Schwarber. Trey Turner. His second hit of the night. Phillies have busted it open. It's 7-0.
That's how you do.
I love it.
Oh, my God.
He's got to put a little more into it.
I can't believe
it. But he put a pretty good amount
into
it.
It was good. That was good.
I mean, he went for it. I mean, it was one of them. But it was, you know.
He did his best.
Let me hear the short version. I know, Wechter, you got a short version in there. Phillies 11, I believe we called it, our highlights from last night. Let me hear the short version of that.
That's how you do.
I love it. Oh, it makes me.
Ruben laughing?
That's Ruben.
Yeah.
Ruben
well, yeah.
That's,
I wonder if the rest of the crew even
understood
what the deal
I
was
think
there.
He did.
Yeah,
I think that's
was
why.
Was T-Mac looking at him
chuckle.
Like, what?
Well, I'll tell you this. A lot of listeners got it because a lot of people tweeted me last night. A lot.
Yeah,
so anyway, great job by Ben Davis.
That's pretty cool.
Grandmaster Hammer.
No.
Is pleased with you,
Stop
Ben.
Stop with that.
Pleased with you,
Come
sir.
Come on.
So thank you very
I
much.
I love when
you
they put them out in the
ashamed.
Outfield, out in the stands.
I do too, Ray.
It's so much fun.
Is it one game a year?
I think they might do more now, but I mean, because it was just they had the kid.
It's fun.
The new Sixer was there.
Oh, my gosh. He
Adem.
Was so wonderful.
He was awesome.
A lot of personality.
Yeah. He was great.
When Kruk asked him if he was ready for it, he goes, I'm built for this.
Yeah.
I went, oh, okay, I hope you can play because you seem like a good time.
Well, he's from the Embiid confidence school. You know, like it's not going to be a lack of confidence in the center position.
Good
stuff. That was a great broadcast last night. I also think the Eagles broadcast, I think Scott Graham and Ross do a great job. I appreciate last night that they started showing the kicker more kicking the ball.
Yeah.
for those kickoffs? Because I thought game one, that was funky. I know every broadcast is going to try to figure out, do we show you the players down the field or the kicker standing by himself? I do want to know when the ball is kicked, because it gives you a sense of like, okay, in 2 or 3 seconds, the ball will be caught. So I thought that was good last night.
I learned something from Ross about keeping an eye on Nick on the sidelines.
Which is what?
When he angrily writes something down on his paper, that is not good.
Well, clearly. So here's a thought I had game one and then reinforced game two. And someone help me if you know the answer to this. I don't remember. Last year, when he was involved more with the offense, was he writing things down?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't remember that happening.
I don't remember it, but Ross pointed it out.
Well, it's two games in a row now he's done it, and I wonder.
He probably has.
I don't remember seeing that, John.
I don't remember seeing it either. And highlighters on his visor.
Say it again. He does or does not.
He always has had. Yeah,
and still does or does not.
Oh, I think he does.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's probably something he's always done, and we haven't noticed.
But probably harder if you're involved with the offense, like the next play.
Yeah.
So it's just, just a thought I had. I'm not quite sure. All right, Elliot on the Eagles coming up in about 5 minutes on last night's game. You can join us 215-592-9494. Also, shortly, we'll get to Weston Wilson and what he said after the cycle last night. Good stuff. Dennis in Mount Laurel. Dennis, good morning.
Hammer, I'm going to skip the normal opening, and I'm going to say, what the hell are you thinking of this morning, Hammer?
With what?
Your comment about stopping at the store. I hope Amy heard that comment.
Oh, come on. That was tongue-in-cheek. I mean, Dennis, I was asked by Richie, Madonna, would you? Sort of. And I thought a stop to the store was at least warranted. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I wonder what kind of store that is, Hammer.
Toys R Us.
Oh, my God. I was there yesterday. I can't believe you referenced that. They're back.
So
Toys R Us.
I think Madonna is well aware. But I don't think the store is called Toys R Us. It's anyway, hello, Dennis.
I don't even know what we're talking about at this point.
You know, last night watching the cycle, that might be the first or maybe the second one I've seen. That's kind of an exciting thing to watch it in person. And then a couple years ago, I saw the Phillies do a 3-pitch inning. That's also very rare.
That is very rare. Yeah. Extremely rare.
How many times has that actually happened?
I used to hear about it more. Here's something I know for sure has only happened once in baseball history. Two grand slams by the same player in the same inning. Yeah. Fernando Tatis is the only one that did that. And then last night I started thinking, how many times have there been two inside the park homers in the same inning? I have no idea. Yeah. I mean, look, let's put it this way, guys. The Phillies have been around 100 and I think 42 years, and last night was the 10th time
Chuck
someone
Klein
hit for
did
the
it
cycle.
Twice.
That's pretty cool.
Is that wild?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I watch more of the Phillies than the Eagles. I don't know if I'm on the side that did that, or more Eagles than Phillies. But watching a preseason football game, like you said, is like watching paint dry. It's just not entertaining.
It was awful. I thought it was actually an awful product for 2 hours and 45 minutes, Dennis. I thought it got interesting in the final 15 minutes of our time.
But we saw signs of what this team's going to look like on both sides of the football, and I think it's really encouraging that positions that were sort of discounted in the past by our organization.
Linebackers look like they can play a little bit.
We've got like a surplus. We've got a surplus of inside linebackers out there flying around and making plays. And, like that translates to our special teams are better. Like during the draft this offseason, it felt like Howie and company were geared toward the kickoff returns. Hey, let's get guys who are versatile athletes who we might be able to use in a lot of different situations, a lot of different scenarios. Will Shipley's a great example of a guy you can use in a lot of ways. I'm excited to see how creative they get with all of this, but our defense is boosted now by these talented young inside linebackers. Yeah. And even Devin White is young. He's 26. I don't care what you say. He's not washed up. He's 26 years old. Next year is technically his peak physical year. That's what I was told as a player. When you're 27, that's when you'll be, physically.
When did you retire, John?
31.
Okay. All right. Dennis, give me a great answer here for who or what reinvented themselves.
One quick statement. I want to say that Richie was right. 20 years ago when he was playing, preseason games were a little bit more meaningful. The starters would play maybe the first couple of the reps, then they would play the first quarter in the second one, then they would play the first half in the third game.
Well, Dennis, I think you applied the wrong word. They were more exciting. They weren't more meaningful. They still counted for nothing.
Right.
But they were more exciting.
Yeah, because you got to see the product.
I know. I get it. All right, Dennis, who or what reinvented themselves?
Well, it just so happens to be the 47th anniversary of his death today. That would be the King, Elvis Presley. You know, in the late 50s, he was the king of rock and roll. He went into the military. He came out for 8 or 9 years, did movies. And in 1968, he did his comeback special.
Yeah.
From 68 to his death, he was the best onstage performer in my lifetime.
Yeah, I was actually watching Elvis last night. It's funny you say that. I watched like 3 or 4 different things on Elvis last night on YouTube. John, I do it all the time.
What?
You watch Elvis on YouTube?
I love
in
when
between
Elvis...
between the Phillies and Eagles preseason.
It was afterwards.
Found time.
I was up till about 12:15 watching Elvis and Unchained Melody.
Naturally.
Yeah, it's what I do.
Natural progression.
You are an interesting man.
These are the things I do.
So you do that frequently? You just listen to Elvis on your phone?
Uh-huh. I mean, it's one of the many
things. I do like Elvis music. It's
pretty
good.
Elvis was awesome.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Unbelievable voice.
Elliot in just a second, but let's give Weston Wilson center stage right now. So he hits for the cycle last night, and then he talked after the game. Two different exchanges here, post-game interviews, both pretty cool. Here's Weston Wilson talking about how Bryce had, Bryce was trying to steer him in a certain direction. Here's Weston Wilson after the game.
Put that into perspective. 10 cycles in the history of the Philadelphia Phillies, and you're right there with them all.
Man, I'm kind of at a loss for words. It was one of those things that, it kind of just happened where, I got that infield hit and got the hardest one out of the way first. But yeah, Bryce came up to me and said, "Doesn't matter where you hit it, just keep running." 13 to 15.
The Bryce Harper School of Base Running.
Yeah, that was the first thing he said when I came off the field. He said, "Just keep running."
It's a good little shot by Crocker there, by the way.
Yeah.
So, all jokes aside, if you hit that thing into the gap in right center, which that was not to the wall, but if you go to the wall, John, do you keep running to third base?
I would, and I'd probably ruin it.
The hammer would stop at second. All glory right
100%
here.
100% you would.
Right.
You would trip to make it look like you fell.
That's right. All right, but great job at Weston Wilson. One more from Weston Wilson. More good stuff after the game.
Your last at bat, Weston, you got around a few, hooked him down the left field line. Then you get a pitch out, and you just flip it out the right center field. Were your feet even touching the ground on your way to second base?
It was one of those things I was like, oh, my God, he's going to catch it when he laid out. And then I saw it trickle off, and, I couldn't feel
him. Well, congrats to him. And, all aside from just, like, the feel-good of last night, there are a couple players on this team competing for the final, I guess 2 to 3, maybe 4 spots if you include all the guys in the bullpen for who's going to be on the postseason roster. Obviously, Weston Wilson is in a battle with Johan Rojas, with, Cody Clemens could be up here at some point. There's a couple guys at the back end of the bullpen. Some of them got to pitch last night, obviously, because it was such a blowout in the end. But a great job by the Phils, and they did take the top spot last night in the National League as the Phils won, the Dodgers lost. So the Phils back atop a half a game up on L.A. All right, let's talk some Eagles football. It's 94 WIP, HD1 Philadelphia, as we broadcast today. Away from the Tasty Cake studio, we are at Borgata, our home base every Friday morning. By the way, our home base next week, Monday, let me get the days right here. I got it right in front of me here somewhere. Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we will be broadcasting from Eagles training camp next week. So those will be fun shows. Ordinarily, we've got some interviews of players during those shows. So they should be good shows Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday next week. Eagles' first game, regular season game, is in exactly 3 weeks in Brazil. So 21 days away from that. And a man who covers it all, Elliot Sherparks. Good morning, Elliot.
What up? How you guys doing this morning?
Good, buddy.
Great.
All right, Elliot, do you want to start with the player or group that stood out to you the most, good or bad, last night, or the preseason product, and whether it's acceptable or unacceptable? Which topic hits you more?
I mean, let's start with the player, because I think I'm going to disagree with you pretty firmly on the preseason one. Maybe we can save that.
Okay. Give me a player or a group that did really well or not so well last night.
Yeah, so I think we got what we love in Philly more than anything is we got a quarterback controversy on our hands heading back to the NovaCare for these next set of practices. I thought Tanner McKee was the winner last night in terms of stock up. I thought he really helped himself to the point where I wonder if teams are going to start calling and kind of testing how bad the Eagles really want to keep him and maybe offer something substantial for him. I thought he looked awesome. He clearly throws a really nice football. He played well despite having, you know, third-string guys all around him. And this is kind of a continuation of last year where he looked really good in the preseason as well. So, you know, I'll say in Kenny Pickett's defense, Kenny has been better than Tanner in practices, I think. But it's clear when the lights are on, Tanner played better. So, you know, I think these next four or five practices in the final game, like that second quarterback job could be up for grabs.
Elliot, does it set up a dicey situation in the locker room that the defensive starters, a lot of them are playing, and the offense still has not, and I would expect will not play during the preseason?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, the counter I guess I would give is the guys that are playing on defense, outside of maybe Devin White, don't really have an argument for saying they deserve the same treatment the offensive guys do. I mean, the guys that are sitting on offense are all like all-pro, Pro Bowl-type players. Jalen, AJ, Devontae, Lane, Mailata. Now, the interior offensive linemen are not, but you can't really mix and match along the offensive line. The guys that are playing on defense, like Slay's not playing, Brandon Graham isn't playing, Nolan Smith, Jalen Carter, like they, you know, I know they didn't play last night, but they can't really say anything about it. So I get your point, but ultimately it is what it is. The guys on the offensive side of the ball have achieved things in the NFL that the defensive guys have not. So I don't think they really have any room to complain.
So we saw Steen go down with the injury. What happens now with the right guard competition?
Yeah, I don't think there is a competition. And to be honest, I don't really think there ever was. I know the Eagles portrayed there was a competition, but when you just give the job to Becton after Steen goes down with that injury, it's clear you never wanted Steen to be that starting right guard. I never got a sense all offseason that they were confident in Steen. I thought last year they had opportunities to play Steen, and they passed on that. And so, you know, now he's hurt, unfortunately, which you know, you never want to see that. But Mekhi Becton is going to be the starting right guard against the Packers in Brazil, barring an injury of his own. But I think that's what the Eagles have always wanted. I don't know if Becton has earned the job. I don't think Becton has looked outstanding in practice. I think they always wanted to give him the job, and I think that's what they're now able to do.
Does it feel like this team's light on a U tight end? The U being the second tight end, the guy that balances the formation if you go two tight ends and you try to run it. I know Grant Calcaterra is listed as our tight end two.
Blocking tight end.
Yeah, he's not a blocking tight end. Is he complete enough as a tight end to even be residing there? Like, do we need to go out and find someone else, or do we have enough at tight end to make this offense work, Elliot?
Yeah, so I think that when it comes to tight end, they're always going to prioritize pass catchers. It just is what it is. They're lucky that Goddard is all, like a pretty good blocker in addition to being obviously a great receiving tight end. And Calcaterra has been their best backup tight end in camp. In terms of a blocking tight end, you're right. Like, Calcaterra, that is definitely not his strength. CJ Uzomah has been in the NFL for a while, you know, but he's not a great blocking tight end. Albert O is not good at it. So they are thin there. But I just don't think you're going to take a roster spot from a quality receiving tight end for blocking. I mean, they have what should be a great set of tackles to block. They should have a good offensive line. They paid Saquon a lot of money. Like, they should be able to run the ball without a good backup blocking tight end, and I think that's just where their priority will lie.
Elliot, do we know, and I think the answer is no, but you'll know better than me, do we know if Jalen wanted to play last night?
So, I don't know the definitive answer to that. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, Jalen probably always wants to play, like as most players would say, but ultimately, you know, I don't think these players want to risk themselves to injury. Like, it's an exciting preseason game for things like backup battles and all that, but it's just not a meaningful football game for guys that have accomplished as much as Jalen and AJ and those guys have. So I'm sure they would have enjoyed playing, but no, I don't think Jalen was like begging to play and they sat him. I think he was probably okay with their plan.
All right, Elliot, so let's talk about the product because, you know, I was okay with Jalen not playing for preparation for the season. I think John overrates the importance of guys playing. But I do know from an entertainment standpoint, having so many guys sit out made it, I thought, frankly, very boring. I thought it was the lowest point I've seen in the preseason that's not like the fourth quarter of the final game. I just thought it was boring from the beginning until the very end when it was interesting for a couple of minutes. What do you make of the product in the year 2024, the preseason product?
I just think you're expecting unfair things from the product. Like, you're buying something knowing that that's not what you're going to get. You knew the starters were not going to play. Preseason right now is about backup.
I didn't actually know it. I thought it, but I didn't know it. Now, maybe next year I'll just know it.
How could you not know it? If you follow this team for the last year, they never play their starters. Even if they do, they play them for five or six snaps. So it's not like those five or six snaps in a three-hour product drastically change it. The preseason is about training camp battle. It is for people who want to watch and see, like Richie, if they have a good backup U block tight end. Right? that is what the preseason.
John, I think
is
he
about.
Just took a little shot at you, a little shot.
But no, it's just football guys.
That
football.
Spot matters.
But I just think it's like everyone turns on these preseason games and goes, "Oh my God, it's the third and Jalen's not playing." Duh. No one expected that. So if you sit there for 3 hours and just think,
I expected him to play. I expected him to be out there for something. The best quarterbacks in the NFL played this preseason. Why is he different?
Because the Eagles don't play their best players in the preseason. That's how they've
done it. Well, that's a mistake.
No, I know.
In order to practice.
Well, John, they have made the playoffs six of the last seven. They have made the playoffs six of the last 7 years. So they're doing something right.
But we knew last year it wasn't the team we wanted it to be, right? It wasn't good
enough.
Well,
eventually.
What about the prior 2 years? Were they good enough then? They weren't supposed to make the playoffs.
Certainly.
They didn't lose the Super Bowl. Here's the way I'll put it, Elliot. They did not lose the Super Bowl in February of 2023 because they didn't play in a preseason game.
But this is a mindset that matters. This is the mindset that the Detroit Lions have, that the 49ers out in San Francisco have, and we need to maintain somehow. But we won't. We won't. Look, this coaching staff is not generating the proper attitude in this team if they're soft.
Elliot, he'll never move off this. He'll be 80 years old.
There's no evidence. There's no evidence to support what you just said.
All right, Elliot, let's get to other players on the team. Let's go backup linebackers, Trott Jr. and N'Kobe Dean. Where do you think they stand in their quest to try to become a starter? What did last night show?
Yeah, I think they both have helped their stock a ton. And I'll put my hand up and say, I thought the linebacker battle with Zach Bond was over. And it still might be. Like, week one, Bond might get more snaps. But N'Kobe has been awesome over the last week. In both preseason games, I think he's been good. He had a great practice against the Patriots earlier this week in New England. He's really helping his stock. Trotter looks like he's already played in the NFL for 3 years. The way he's able to diagnose pre-snap and be in the right place is super impressive. So in terms of being starters week one, I think it will still be Devin White and Zach Bond. But the real takeaway is it has been a long time since Eagles had two young linebackers that you felt could be here for like years and years that both looked good, and it looks like they have that. So with Howie, he's really been hit or miss at the position, and it looks like he's really hit this offseason because I think both of them could be contributing players this year.
You know, by the way, got to give a tip of the hat to Trott Sr. You know, Elliot, he told me when his son was in grade school that he had him watching watching film way back when he was young, which I'm guessing most, you know, sixth graders aren't doing. I mean, I just can't imagine that's happening.
Well,
much.
Especially at the linebacker position. it's probably going to be a quarterback.
I'm sure some kids are trying, but they don't have an NFL linebacker telling them what to watch properly while they're watching that tape. Hey, Elliot, so Nolan Smith put his face on the quarterback, got called, 15-yard penalty. What kind of guy is he? Is he like a loose cannon guy? I'm getting remnants of Derek Barnett, where you got Nick Sirianni on the sideline saying, why is it always him? Is Nolan Smith a little bit of a crazy, loose cannon type dude, and does he need to rein it in?
You know, personality-wise, he's very different from Barnett. Barnett was quiet. He didn't really talk much. He was not like a rah-rah guy. Nolan Smith, from my experience of being around him, is very much a rah-rah, like, always has, he reminds me, honestly, somewhat of Jalen in the way that he just has a lot of, like, sayings he has about working hard and all those things. But you're right. Wow. On the field, Nolan Smith has made mistakes, and that penalty last night was a really bad one. And, you know, that aside, I just don't think Nolan has shown in two games what the Eagles were hoping. I know he had that sack last night. This is now twice he's been late in the game with the sack. You know, early on, he's not doing anything against even the top backup on another roster. So I don't think he has helped himself. In these
he's been unblocked games. For his sacks yeah. also.
Elliot, are you saying Nolan Smith, Marcus Smith?
Oh. That's probably a better comparison than Barnett, honestly. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. All right, Elliot, wonderful report, my man. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great weekend, Elliot.
Sounds good. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, pal.
Thanks, Elliot.
Well, look, it's way
or
too
early. No thanks. This might be terrible.
It's too early. I was sort of joking. I will say, Marcus Smith, to me, it was very obvious in his first year that he absolutely did not have
so that was
everyone
different
knew.
Yeah, like everybody knew.
Nolan Smith.
He was on the ground every play. No, he was knocked on the ground every play. And I remember,
Nolan Smith is a lot better than that.
I remember, yeah, I think so too, John. I remember, I'm not sure on Nolan Smith, but it'd be hard for Nolan Smith to be as bad as Marcus Smith. I remember within a couple of games of Marcus Smith's career, I said, this guy's not going to have 100 tackles in his career. And I think we looked it up a couple of years ago. I think it ended up being like 25 tackles.
No, G. Cobb saw him at practice one day, like early on, and told us that, you know, the guy can't play. I mean, literally said he can't play.
Can't play.
And it was not a long, he had not been here very long.
That's right. 215-592-9494. Up ahead, more of Nick Sirianni after the game on the last couple of days, you know, not playing the starters, more of what he said there. How about Tanner McKay post game and Kenny Pickett post game? On this second-string quarterback battle or not battle, that and more, plus pop culture pizza hammer at 8:30, and the calls on all these topics as we broadcast from Borgata on 94 WIP.
Colonial Marble and Granite is here to help you beat the summer heat, and they have stone-cold savings on the region's widest selection of natural and fabricated stone. How about 20% off fully installed countertops starting at $2,999 plus a 23-inch stainless steel sink on them. Colonial Marble and Granite's expert specialists will fully install up to 20 square feet of promotional marble, natural stone, and quartz with Colonial's comprehensive service. They'll be there with you from start to finish. Design and fabrication, their designers are amazing. Delivery, installation, you just get to sit back, chill out, and they will do all the work and build you an absolutely beautiful kitchen that you will love. Visit a Colonial showroom in Philadelphia, King of Prussia. Go check out that showroom in King of Prussia. It's massive. You will absolutely find what you're looking for. Or Harrisburg to discover their high-quality selection of natural and engineered stone materials. And take advantage of these discounts. But don't delay. The sun sets on these savings on Monday, August 19th. Restrictions apply. Visit colonialmarble.net for details.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.